Our Father and our God, we give glory and honor to you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your care. We thank you for this day, the second Sunday in the year 2009. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you keep watch over us in the name of Jesus. In every situation, let us have cause to rejoice. Let us have cause to thank God. Oh God, Heavenly Father, this year we shall be overcomers in the name of Jesus. We shall be victorious in all situations in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, doors will open for each and every one of us this year in the name of Jesus. Opportunities will come our way this year in Jesus' name. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we commit the Sunday school today into your hands. We pray that we shall not be hearers alone, but we shall be doers of your word. And at the end of this service today, oh God, don't let us remain the same in Jesus' name. Let each and every one of us be blessed in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we shall have encounter with you in Jesus' name. And at the end of the service, we will have cause to give thanks and honor unto you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Today, the topic is divine favor. Divine favor. This is an interesting topic. I pray that each and every one of us, we will have an individual encounter with God, and God will shower us with divine favor. I will first, let us go to the memory verse. I believe each and every one of us, we have our bulletin by now. Let's go to the memory verse. The memory verse is taken from Psalm 30, verse 5. Are we there? Yeah. I will first read, then all of us will read together. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. Please let us read together. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What this one is telling us in essence is, in our day-to-day life, in our Christian life, in any endeavor of life, we are going to face challenges. We are going to face problems. If we think that everything will be smooth, we are deceiving ourselves. And as a friend of mine used to say, if there is no test, will there be testimonies? Definitely, you will face diverse tests in your Christian life, in your place of work, in your domestic life, in every aspect of life. And when you are able to overcome these challenges, that is when you will have testimonies. Without tests, there cannot not be any testimony. I like the last paragraph of the memory verse. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but what will happen at the end? Joy cometh in the morning. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstances you are passing through, if you are able to endure, if you are able to be focused, if you are able to put your trust in God, my sisters and my brother, I can assure you, at the end of the day, you will have cause to smile. And the way you take situations will determine the outcome. You know, some people will take things that you think, this is a failure. But the way they will take it, and at the end of the day, what people believe will be failure will now come to be a big success. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I pray that that will be the portion of each and every one of us in Jesus' name. So I just want to implore you, no matter the situation that you are passing through, no matter the circumstances, one thing that is paramount is no condition is permanent. With time, things will change and you will have cause to rejoice. The Bible passage is taken from Esther 5, 1 to 3. This is just a summary. If we say we should go deeply into the story, it will take such a good time. Yeah, I will just summarize the story of Esther. We know the King Azarias, he was given so many wives, and Esther was one of the wives given to King Azarias. Under normal conditions, each and every of the women, they have a time that they can come to the king. And if they want to see the king, they go to the inner court. It's like each and everyone has an appointed time. But there was one of the servants of King Azarias, Hanan, who wanted all the Jews to be killed. And Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, wanted Esther to intervene so that before the decree that was made by the servant of King Azarias takes place, that Esther should intervene to save the Jews from being killed. So at this time, Esther, it was not the appointed time for Esther to see the king, but he went to the inner court. And at the inner court, if you go at a time that you are not supposed to be there, you can either be killed or it can be anything can happen because it's not the time for the king to see her. But, you know, with believing God, she went to the inner court and luckily she found favor in the sight of the king. And the king asked to call her when she saw her at the inner court and ask, what do you want me to do for you? That even if you want half of this kingdom, I'm ready to give it to you. But you know, with wisdom, Esther was able to what the decree that Hanan has made that all the Jews will be killed, Esther was able to rewrite that decree, and at the end of the day, it was Hanan that was killed with his sons and his race that were killed instead of the Jews to be killed. Another Bible passage I will want us to read is 1 Psalm 16, 11 to 13. Thank you very much. I will give that story again, that he has just read the passage. This was when God anointed David as the king to be. And among even all the other siblings, the seven brothers who have been presented, they were not the ones to be anointed as the king. But it was David who was not even around when they were presenting them. It was David that God said he should be anointed. And let me quickly read that passage again. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Yeah? Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from the day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. You know, David found favor before God. Even among his other siblings, he was the one anointed to be the king. As a way of introduction, what do we mean by divine favor?
Favor of the Lord?
Yes. Who can contribute again? What do we mean by divine favor? When we see somebody as divine favor of God, what do we mean by that? Something unique.
Something elevated above other people.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Unmerited. There are so many words that we can use in for divine favor. If you check the dictionary, it says something spiritual, something celestial, something superwoman, something supernatural, something wonderful, something excellent. So many words can be used to can be used in form of divine favor. And from what I have in this bulletin, it says divine favor is God's good face. I want us to read Numbers 6, 22 to 27. Numbers 6, 22 to 27. Thank you very much. That's God's promise for the people of Israel. They had divine favor with God. You know, something that people think is ordinary may come out to be extraordinary when you have divine favor. I could remember the pastor has preached here before that the same golf ball that some people think it's ordinary, it has made people like Tiger Woods billionaires. A round ball, which is football, which is maybe about $10 or $20, it has made some people to be billionaires all over the world. the basketball that, you know, people will say it's just ordinary. It has made some people to have fame and to be very successful in life. The rod of Moses, which some people will term as ordinary rod, it has been an instrument in Moses' hands. These are divine favor of God. You know, there are so many things that you do that if God is in it, if there is divine favor, people may look at it as ordinary, but God will turn it into something extraordinary. I have seen some situations before, and I would just want to tell you about it. In everything, we should try and acknowledge God in everything we do. And we should always see the hand of God. We should not think, oh, it is by my might, or it's by... What does the Bible say? If you put your trust in man, you are failed. At the end of the day, the men that you put your trust in, they will be the one to destroy you and to finish you. I will just want to cite an example. When I was serving my youth corps, that was close to more than 20 years ago in Zaria, one of the richest men in Nigeria, you know, it was on a Saturday morning. He was traveling from Lagos to Zaria to Sokoto to see the Sultan of Sokoto then. His son, we were serving together in the same town in Zaria. And there is this aviation institute where they train pilots. I live next to the place. So most of the time, I always go there to see some of my friends there. Then this man, he alighted from the plane that day. And most of the pilots in training, they went to meet him. Chief, how come you are so successful? How come you are so rich? And you know what he said? He said, I was in the right place at the right time. I recognize the opportunity that so many people will not recognize the opportunity. And I utilize that opportunity. That was what made the difference of me being successful. You know, this is somebody, he has put his trust in man. He has put his trust in his friends. And most of us who are Nigerians, we know that the government made the man. Our leaders made him, who are his friends. And the same leaders who made him were the one that destroyed him and at the end of the day detained him and killed him. So if you put your trust in man, you are deceiving yourselves. I must confess, before, I too, when I finish my first masters, I will connect this. I will do this. I will the governor of Ogun State. This. I tried some of these things. Like a friend of mine, he entered the bank. Then he knew the ADC to the state governor. I wanted to try the same route. In fact, I got to the governor's office that day, did everything, saw the managing director of the bank. You know, the guy connected me so that I can see the governor, so that the governor can present me as one of his candidates and all that. But my sister and my brother, the whole thing did not work. At the end of the day, what I did not even think of was where I got my first employment. Where I did not even think of. And I could remember the day I brought my letter home and showed my old man. The first thing he asked me is, because my father has a principle, he will never, never help you. He will say, I've sent you to school. Whether you look for a job or you don't look for a job, that's your own cup of tea. I will never phone or say anybody should look for a job for you. So, the first thing he asked me when I showed him the letter, how did you get this job? Who which connection did it? I say it's God's connection. It was just laughing. So if we put our trust in man, if we put our trust in human beings, we are deceiving ourselves. Because the same man that made you will destroy you. So we should always put our trust in God. And what are the benefits of divine favor? I have some things stated here. When you have divine favor, you will have support from the Almighty God. When you have divine favor, you will have the mercy of God. When you have divine favor, there will be preference against others. And when you have divine favor, you will have success in all things. And when you have divine favor, you will have breaking of barriers. Because of time, we will not be able to go into some of these passages. And when you have divine favor, what happens to you? You become a shining star. You become favored by God when you have divine favor. We will see that in the Bible, some races had divine favor. And which are some of the races that have divine favor of God? I can't hear. The Israelites, thank you. The Israelites have divine favor of God. And I have here, for you to have divine favor, what should you do? Please, I will want us to contribute as much as possible. I have some things stated here already. For you to have divine favor, you should do what? You should be obedient. Obey the word of God. Then, number two, for you to have divine favor, you should do what? You should be faithful and serve God diligently. And what does the Bible say? It says, I'm a rewarder of... Thank you very much. I'm a rewarder of those who serve me faithfully and diligently. Then number three, for you to have divine favor, you should commit things to God's hands. Pray. Even situations that man think, oh, is hopeless, can turn to be a big success. Situations that people think, oh, is nothing to write home about, can be a success at the end of the day. Just like the saying goes, you know, some things that are failures, God can turn it into a very big success. And if you look at people who have done innovations over the years, it's a matter of, it's by accident. Those who have discovered so many things is by accident. And one thing is, even if some people who have innovated, if they fail, some have done it 10 times. The person that discovered the globe, about many times did he try? I think we read it. About many times? More than 10 times. The person that discovered that innovated the globe tried more than 10 times. Then, for you to have divine favor, what other things do you need to do? You should give thanksgiving in all things. David, who is the father of thanksgiving, had divine favor from God. And it's because he knows how to thank God. If God gives you something, and you acknowledge God and you give thanksgiving, what will happen? God is going to give you more. It's just like one of the biblical principles. It's like in our normal life, if you are given something and you acknowledge and you say thank you and you give thanksgiving, definitely you will get more. But in a situation where you don't even acknowledge or you don't say thank you, what will happen? The person who has given you will not have the will to give you again. What other things for someone to have divine favor? What other things do you think one should do? Please, I want contributions. To be located in Jesus. Thank you for that. Definitely, definitely. You don't work for it. Yes, you don't work. It's not something that you achieve by your own abilities. It's not something that you achieve by doing something. But it's just something that is unmerited. It's a favor from God. God just chooses you to do what he wants to do. But definitely, there are certain things expected of you to have that unmerited favor. And part of those things I've stated earlier, you must be obedient, you must do the will of God, you must be prayerful, because if you are not obedient, do you think God is going to give you, even if you don't merit it, God is going to give you that divine favor? No, you must be obedient, you must obey the words of God. It's not everybody that obeys God's words. Some are disobedient. Yeah, just like the pastor has said, sometimes you may not be the best. Do you agree with me? You may not be the best, but God will just single you out. And you will have the favor of God. I've seen instances. You may not be the best. You may even be among the dullards. I have a friend. He's so successful. He's an engineer. He's so successful. In fact, there was a day a prof took his son to him. This is one of my very good students in the class. It was this. He said, "No, prof, I'm not being rude. I wasn't good at all." Yeah, he told the prof there and then. He has, "Please, prof, I'm not being rude. I was not good. In fact, I had an extra year." You could remember that I had an extra year. But God just singled the guy out. He's a very successful engineer. Yeah, I will. Let's. Okay, because of time, I would have loved us to read Psalm 37, which says the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. But I will leave us with that. Maybe when we get home, we should read it. You know, for you, if you are doing good, what are the rewards? And that is part of the divine favor that you get from God. And if you are doing bad, what are the rewards? That's the opposite of divine favor. Please, if we have contributions, if we have additions, if we have any subtraction, if we have... Yeah.
In Genesis 6, verse 8, it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And then verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. There are three things about Noah that should really stand out, I think. It says, Noah was a righteous man, he was blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. Now, Noah found favor with God, and the Bible actually says there were three things he did. He was blameless in his time. First off, he was righteous. He had relationship with God. He was blameless in his time. And I think that's almost like we're in the world, but we're not of the world. The world might be doing all these things, but we're not. Noah didn't partake in all the things that were going on in his time, but he also walked with God. And I think that's three things, and God says, "My favor is on you." They're three good things that the New Testament support that's good to follow. So,
thank you very much for that contribution. And I know we are all aware of so many people who had a divine favor with God in the Bible. Abraham, Noah, David, Joseph, Moses. We have a lot. Esther, Ruth. Yeah. We know a lot of people who had divine favor with the Lord. Any other contribution, please? If there is no other contribution, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Bible study of today. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we pray that each and every one of us, we will have divine favor with you in the name of Jesus. You will shower your blessings on each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Oh God, Heavenly Father, those things that people will hear and hear will tinkle, oh God, let it be our portion this year in the name of Jesus. Even more than our imagination, oh God, Heavenly Father, you will do those things that we desire for each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we commit the rest of the service into your hands. We pray that you take absolute control in the name of Jesus. And at the end of the service, Let us have cause to give thanks and honor to you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.